Well, we want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and I wanted to share with you, I think it was on Thursday, we got a call here at the church. Beth answers the phone, as you know, and there on my desk is, I have a phone as well, and on that phone is a caller ID, and I noticed when the phone rang, this long number. And I thought to me, oh man, that's a scam of some sort. I don't even know if Beth should answer that phone or not. But Beth answered the phone. And it was a call from Holland. And the fellow's name was Peter Cruz. And Peter is a member of Daniel Boyd's church in Holland. If you looked at your bulletin this morning, we as a church family for a number of years have supported Daniel and Heather Boyd and their family in Holland. He was calling to tell me that he had been praying for me and Barb in our time of illness. But he went on beyond that to thank our church for our faithful support of Dan and Heather. One of the taking notes as he was talking to me, and one of the things that he said was, he said about Daniel, he said that there are few in Holland that are preaching the word straight. And he repeatedly was so thankful for Daniel's ministry. And then he was thankful for your ministry, for our ministry as a church family. And so this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to pray for the Boyds in Holland. Ministry is different these days all around the world, but certainly in a place like Holland, as he explained to me on the phone, just the difficulties that they are having with COVID and lockdowns. So let's pray for the Boyds this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the privilege it is to meet together with you in the assembly of your people. How sweet it is to daily walk with you and to know the constant companionship and fellowship with the Almighty God of the universe. But Father, we acknowledge that there's something special when we gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the oneness that we have in Christ, the love, the unity that we have in your Son Christ, who is our Savior, who is our Redeemer, who is our life. And so, Father, we treasure these moments when we can be together and take time out from our busy schedules to quiet our hearts before you and to worship you and to remember you and to love our brothers and sisters and to fellowship together with one another. We're so thankful this morning that you are here. Father, that you are well pleased with not only your Son, but you are well pleased with those who are in Christ. And so, Father God, we know that there is a smile upon your heart, your face, as you look down and you see your people worshiping and adoring you. Father, we thank you this morning for the fact that you are a God that is not far, but you are a God that is near. Emmanuel, God with us. You came to us. You came, entered into our world to be with us. And today you are not far, but you are in us as we are in Christ. You know every need. You know every detail of our lives. And not only do you know, Father, but you care and you love us. and we give you thanks. Father, this morning in our church family, we know that there are individuals that are hurting. We know that there are some who have had surgeries in these last few weeks that aren't with us this morning. We know the loneliness of this time of the year. We know, Father, that there are people, even in our family, that though they are in Christ, they are suffering. And I would pray this morning that you might minister and be a comfort to them. Father, we are thankful for your protection in our lives every day. And Father, as we cried out to you this last week for protection in the storm, we must give you thanks for the protection that you gave our communities from the storm. In your sovereign will, you chose not to give that protection to everyone. And for those that are suffering still this morning from the destruction of the storm, we pray for your grace and your comfort. And we pray that the name of Jesus would be exalted and would be made known in a special and unique way, even because of the tragedies that these communities are facing. Father, we are thankful this morning that you have given us time to share Jesus. Father, we look forward to being with you. Father, you are our life. You are our joy. You are our peace. And we know that ultimate joy and peace will come only when we see you and we'll be with you face to face. But Father, as we wait for your coming, Father, we know that there's a mission for us as believers, and that is to live the life of Christ and to allow Jesus to ooze out of us and to allow us to be able to be the sweet, smelling aroma of Christ. And Father, the mission we have of sharing Jesus with those around us. Thank you for Daniel and Heather. Thank you, Father, for the passion they have for people that are outside of Christ that would cause them to go to Holland and minister to people like Peter. And Father, this morning, amidst all of the difficulties of this COVID season, we would pray that they would know your blessing, that they would know your power, and they would know your strength in a way that they wouldn't have known aside from this season that we are in. And so bless them. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people here at First Baptist who faithfully give week in and week out, giving, Father, to your work, and pray your blessing upon those who so faithfully give. And now, Father, we come again to the Word of God. We come to hear from you. And Father, again, we are so thankful for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of the believer. And so quiet our hearts, quiet my heart, quiet each of our hearts, that we might hear what the Spirit has to say to us this morning through the Word of God. Again, I think it's our heart's cry to you this morning is to say to you how good, how pleasant it is for the brethren to join together in unity and oneness. Father, this is a sweet moment. Allow us to enjoy it to its fullness as we meet with you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles with me this morning and open them to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, John chapter 3. Christmas, as you know, is around the corner, fast approaching. The Christmas account, as we know, is familiar to most of us, and it's filled with numerous characters and, if you like, numerous players in the unfolding drama of our Savior. You have Mary. You have Joseph that Pastor Cole read about this morning in Matthew. You can even go back farther to Elizabeth and Zechariah. You have the angels that we sing about this time of the year, and we sing about the shepherds, and a few years ago we preached a sermon on Simeon, and then of course you have the Magi, and you have King Herod, and you have the innkeeper, and on you could go of all of the characters, of all the players that you have in the Christmas story. And they all play a key role in the events that lead up to, again, the birth of our Savior. What I want us to do this morning as we prepare our hearts, again, for Saturday, the celebration of the birth of Christ, I want us to focus in what I believe are the four major characters in the Christmas story. The four major characters, the four major players in the Christmas story. If you understand these four players, characters, I think you will fully understand the Christmas story. And to see these four players, characters, I want to take you to one verse that I'm sure you are familiar. It's John chapter 3 and verse 16. We have different versions, I know, and so the versions have changed the wording a little bit. Again, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, and so I'll read it here for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The four players of the Christmas story begins when we read those words, for God so loved the world. The world. Player number one. What did Jesus mean when He said the world? Well, in the broadest sense, the world refers to the universe, the creation that God had made. He is the maker of heaven and the earth, and God loves His creation. He brought it into existence by His very word, and we're looking forward to that day in which He's going to restore all of creation. But when Jesus said, for God so loved the world, I don't believe He's referring to this globe in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy. He's not referring to His creation, but He's talking about people, the human inhabitants of the earth. And so we could say that God so loved humanity. God so loved the human race. The Christmas story focuses in on the people of the earth. I had a guy in one of my churches, and he decorated like crazy during the Christmas season. And I remember he had this sign, it was years ago, and you've seen this sign too. But it was, Jesus is the reason for the season. That is true, as we're going to see in just a moment. But you could literally say, humanity, the human race, is the reason for the season. Now, there's one thing that you need to know, and I need to know, and Jesus points out to us concerning the world, the human race. And you find it there a little bit later in the verse when we read these words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not, what? Perish. This is what you need to know about the world. The world is perishing. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about the fact that everybody is going to die someday? Well, let me remind us again this morning that perishing is more than dying. Look at verse 18. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son, the only Son of God. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is what? Condemned. To perish means this, is to be under the condemnation and the judgment of God. Look at verse 36 of John chapter 3 there. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God remains on him. The world is perishing. The world is under the condemnation and the wrath of God. The world is under God's judgment. Now, why is the world under God's judgment? Why is the world condemned? Well, there's one verse in the Bible that succinctly says it all when we read those words in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. No human being measures up to the perfection of the glory of God. Jesus would say it like this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our God is so holy. Our God is so righteous. Our God is so just in all of His ways. And that justice and that holiness demands that if anyone comes into His presence, they must be just like Him. They must be perfect in their holiness, in their righteousness, and in their justice. And the truth is, the Bible says that we all have what? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. One of the words for sin in the New Testament simply means this, missing the mark. It's a picture of an archer shooting at a target, aiming for the bullseye. And what the Bible tells us is that no one hits the bullseye every time. No one is perfect completely in their words, in their thoughts, in their deeds. Yes, some come closer to others, but the truth is we all fall short. Now, if we could just, you know, use your imagination with me just for a little bit. If we could just all for a second just kind of take a pause in our worship service here. And I would tell everybody just go get your coats on. We're just going to take a little walk down to the Cedar River. And so everybody bundles up their coats and I'd say, okay guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to see how many of you can jump across the Cedar River. And so we all kind of just line up single file and we all take our best effort to jump across the river. Now, I know we got some athletes in our church family and there are some of you guys that I'm sure could make quite a leap. There are some of us maybe right now that maybe could make a step or two across the river. But you get the point. None of us in this room could jump across the Cedar River. None of us in this room, or all of humanity, can measure up to the perfection of the glory and the holiness and the justice of our God. Pastor Cole has been taking us through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I missed a couple of those sermons. Pastor Cole, and I don't know if you've come to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20 yet, but it says it like this. Surely, there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. This is why humanity is perishing this morning. Humanity is perishing because we are under the wrath and the judgment of God. And again, you say, well, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal? We're all just going to die someday, right? And then we're just all just going to go out of existence. I remind us that death is more than annihilation. This is one of the biggest lies of